Okay, the name of this teaching is The Truth Should Be Truthfully Applied. We have been given a great, great privilege to be able to be taught God's Word. Many people have Bibles, and they are in still a quandary to understand what those verses mean. But you and I have been privileged with grace to be able to be in a position where we know how to read and understand the Scriptures. And if anything is true, the Word is true. And the living Word is true, which is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The thing that I was thinking about this morning is that great truth that we have as a diamond in our heart, a wonderful, valuable thing in our heart, is something that needs to have the integrity kept in our heart in order to share it. I thought about the account of Ananias and Sapphira. If you go to Acts chapter 5.
Here.
Acts chapter 5. We'll start right in verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife, also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So, you have the situation where things are happening like they had never seen them before. Great signs, miracles, and wonders were happening. It talked about in chapter 2, I believe, no, chapter 3, where they were following after the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people came in, and that they were so blessed that they were selling their possessions and laying it at the apostles' feet.
A little music.
You have that going on, and as they were doing that, they were seeing more signs and miracles because there was great believing among the people for what was happening and how God was at work. So Ananias and Sapphira, they said they sold a possession. Whether they had lots and lots of possessions or that was their only possession, I don't know. They just said they sold a possession. But they decided, they made a clear decision that they were going to keep back part of it, but lie that they were going to give all of it. Do you see that's where the problem came in? They lied about bringing in all of it. Let's read on. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to what? Lie to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and to keep back part of the price of the land? That's a good question, because you didn't have to. It was not a requirement that everybody sell their stuff and give it. But there was such a great outpouring of God's abundance because people were doing that, that they wanted to have the credit among the people for doing it also. They wanted to have the credit for having done something spiritual when they decided to keep back part of it. Now, if they had kept back 50% and came in and said, we're giving half of what we sold this for, and people would have said, thank you. But what was going on was wrong in their heart. And Peter credited it with the influence of Satan, which is a term that you use for what the world does. The evil influences that are in the world got into them and convinced them that they were going to lie about this. whilst it remained, was it not in thine own power? It was your decision. You could have given any or none of it. Do you see? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And there's one thing that we're going to see a little later, is that God puts great store in truthfulness, in not lying. And it damages our relationship with Him when we go to that. Now, it says that all men are liars, right? So there's none of us that's innocent of this. But it doesn't start to change in our life until we recognize it as a problem. All right, let's go on. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. It doesn't say that God killed him, but his response to that shock of Peter saying this is what happened. So Ananias dies. But remember, his wife conspired in doing this as well. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours later when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter asked unto her, "Tell me whether thou sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that thou hast agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord?" Again, the problem was lying to God, not to men. "Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. See, knowing something and causing something is entirely different. Peter didn't cause her death. He didn't curse her to die or anything like that. But he knew by revelation that she was going to have the same kind of response to this confrontation as Ananias, her husband, had. "And great fear came upon all the church," fear meaning respect. They weren't afraid of Peter, okay? It wasn't that they were afraid of Peter, but they were certainly impressed by this. They were impressed by it because they had that built their believing that God's integrity was there. It wasn't something that you can push around God by lying to God. "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." So, if this had been something that was anything else besides the glory to God, this would not have happened. The signs and miracles and wonders would not have followed. But this was God's confirmation that, hey, you're doing it right. By keeping the integrity in the gospel, in the words that you're preaching, you're doing it right. "They thought that they would lie about the price of the sale to a man." You need to see that the context of what was going on. The power of God was working in the church, and if you were considered to be a leading part of this movement, you had a lot of praise from people. It was a heart issue for them. Their motivations were all wrong. They wanted the glory for their good works. They were not required to sell their property, but decided to be deceptive with the truth. So, And what is it about lying that's so bad? You know, that was a pretty serious thing for them to lie. What is it about lying that's bad? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And that's exactly where Ananias and Sapphira were. They were in this vanity of their mind. They were acting like a Gentile. They were trying to seek notoriety or fame for the good works. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. It is when we get past this to living truth, that we start to understand God. When we love people, we begin to understand God's heart because He is all love. You cannot be deceitful or hateful towards people and understand God. It's impossible because you're operating outside of who He is. Matter of fact, you're operating according to what the adversary does. Because he is what? The father of lies. All right. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Because Christ is the example. He is the tupos, the Greek word tupos, he's the blow that we are to see and imitate. He's the image that we are to follow. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Lying is a part of the old man nature. Okay? Lying is a part of the old man nature. And what is the counterbalance to that? What is the antidote to the old man? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is a twofold action. We put on the Word of God, but God also energizes the Word in our life. And we begin to change. But He can't energize something that isn't already being activated by our believing. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now watch this next part. Wherefore, put away lying. Do you see how that destroys that righteousness, that renewed mind? This is something God says, avoid. Put it away. Because when we decide that it is important enough to our spirituality, our walk with the Father, that if it becomes a stumbling block for us, we want to put it away. We want to not do that. Put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. And that's neighbor is the person who's close to us. It's our family of God. It's our earthly family. It's the guy next door. It's people who we are interacting with. For we are members one of another. Especially in the body of Christ, we are members one of another. You wouldn't want to hurt by lying anybody else. And it goes on to say, here's another problem. Anger. Be angry and sin not. You can be upset. It's not wrong to be upset. What is wrong is what we do with that. With what we do is injurious to other people, then it becomes a sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. See, the devil is the one, it's in his court that we begin to play with anger, sinning, lying. We step into his court by his rules. The devil is the father of lies. So when we engage in lying, then we are following his footsteps. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 39. John chapter 8, verse 39. Now here he's having a conversation with the religious elite, the ones who should know, who counted themselves very, very righteous because they were born after the seed of Abraham. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what?
The works.
The works of Abraham. You would follow what he did. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you what?
The truth.
The truth. Jesus Christ never held back the truth. He never held back the truth. Which I have heard of God, and this did not Abraham. And do the deeds of your father. Well, who do you think he's referring to there? And they said unto him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Now that was a slam on him because the word had gotten out that Mary had gotten pregnant before her and Joseph had come together. So they weren't beginning to say, yeah, it was by divine conception. they were slamming him here. Who are you to tell us? Our Father's God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would do what?
Love me.
For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Now they weren't deaf. They heard his words, but they had no effect on them because their heart was wrong. Their heart was wrong. And so therefore the words were not received. Ye I'm sure this one got him a little angry. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. So if you're going to follow the devil, you're going to do what he does. They were confused. Their mind was that they were doing God's work, but when in actuality, they were doing the devil's work. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So you want to know why people lie? Why do we lie?
Old man
nature. That which we inherited from Adam. It became part of the things that are sown in us because of the sin of Adam. So we need to recognize that and go, okay, I know I am prone to not speaking the truth all the time, so let's concentrate on getting over this. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Every time we choose to lie, we are imitating the devil. When we speak the truth, we are imitating Jesus Christ. There will never be a lasting benefit to a lie. It seems like the avoidance of trouble by lying, but what it does, it sows a seed that will bring the fruit of a devilish outcome. All right, I'll say it one more time. It seems like the avoidance of trouble by lying, but it sows a seed that will bring the fruit of a devilish outcome.
No good.
Yeah, lying is a part of the old man nature. And we engage in it from a very early age. I did it to try to avoid getting into trouble as a child. Anybody else see that in their children?
Yeah.
Did you ever try it yourself? Did you eat all the peaches? I was once asked. No, I only ate one. But now my stomach hurts. I ate the whole dang basket. And I knew I was doing wrong when I did it. And when I was asked directly if I had done it, I lied. But you go, oh, that's a child. That's a child. But don't sometimes we are tempted to lie to avoid trouble or avoid being thought bad about? It's a old man response. It's an old man response. Now, Jesus Christ was very pointed and reproving to the Pharisees. Not all the Pharisees were against him. And as he preached, I'm sure some of their hearts were pricked and began to believe. So, they wouldn't have done it if he had just simply glossed over it and go, I know you guys are trying. No, he didn't go there. You see, there was another occasion where our car was damaged by a hailstorm. Maybe some of you here in Rockford experienced it, but it was just dimpled with a hailstorm. And so we went to this one particular shop. It was recommended to us by our insurance agency. And after about 2 weeks, we got a call and said, all the parts that we need to repair your car is in now. Bring it over. Okay, so we brought it over, and they kept it for a month. A month after they had all the parts in. And so as I would call through this month period of time, they kept telling me, oh, we got some parts still coming in. We got some parts still coming in. Every time I was told this. And then when it finally happened, and I went to pick it up, I said, what took so long? Well, we were slammed. There were so many cars that had to be repaired. They chose to avoid the problem by lying to me about parts coming in. And so it sat on their lot when I could have been using it. It wasn't being kept from usage because of dimpling. So we were inconvenienced for a whole month by not having that car. But rather than just tell me that, they chose to lie to me. Do you think I'll ever use that one again?
No.
No. No, but isn't it true that there's so many times in the business world that telling a little lie kind of helps avoid the problem?
But it didn't, yeah.
No, it ultimately it didn't because they lost my trust. But we often see it as an example that the world tries to employ. Being truthful with others makes us trustworthy. But lying to yourself is an entirely different matter. What does that do to us when we lie to ourselves? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know that what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and what? Lying wonders. Now that is what is going to happen in a pretty specific way and a specific time that God has planned for. And the Antichrist and all the other things that we know that from scriptures is going to happen. But what happens when the lying signs and wonders happen? When we lie to ourselves, we think we're doing God's work, but he's not really able to bless it when we fill it with lies. I remember one time I went to a very, very trusted teacher of God's Word when some things that were happening with my time at the Way, when all chaos was happening. And people were telling things simply to stir things up. They were saying things simply to agitate the situation. And lying was a part of it. They were saying things that weren't true. And so I went to this person, and I said, "Is it ever right that the ends justify the means? Is it ever right that the ends justify the means?" And his first response was yes. That sometimes the ends justify the means if the situation is dire enough. And I was very disappointed, because that was the opposite of what I believed that the Word said. Because you cannot do the will of God by breaking God's commandments. And so, to his credit, he came to me the next day, and he said, "I was wrong. The ends never justify the means." So sometimes people think by lying, even if it's what we call a white lie, a little white lie, that they say things so that people's feelings don't get hurt, that somehow that is doing God's will. And in truth, any kind of lie, any kind of untruth, really, you're leaving God out of the situation. Let's go to Psalm 62, verse 1. Psalm 62, verse 1. Says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain all of you as a bowling wall." Bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. When I was in about high school age, we owned this one house, and in West Virginia, everything's on a hill, either up or down. And our house was up on a hill, and it had a retaining wall that didn't have a way to evacuate the water that would collect behind it. It was a poor design. And as the years that we were there was progressing, that wall just kept getting further and further in a bow. And I understand this mind picture is that this wall just kept having this buildup of water behind it and pressing in on to where eventually the last year I was there, it just broke apart.
Wow.
Just broke apart. And when we start to enter into this deception, that's what happens. It's what happens in our own life, is that all of a sudden, all the lies that we built up and start telling ourselves ends up destroying us. Verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. Have you ever known somebody that lies so much that they lie when the truth would sound better? You just get into this habit. It becomes a spirit problem eventually, but because they've gotten into this, they really like lying. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Salah. Salah is a kind of like a musical thing. It means pause. Pause to consider. That's what that's thrown in there. Think about this. This is a big one. God put a high value on matters of the heart. What is going on in our heart, he's very, very interested in. And being truthful is the start of that. Psalm 101, verse 5. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. These are heart issues. Proud look, you know, a high look, a proud heart. And he says, I will not suffer. You know, he doesn't want to be involved with that. He doesn't bless that when that becomes part of who we are. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. So he puts a high value on truthfulness and not lying, either to others or to ourselves. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. He don't like that. He don't like that. And most of the time when that happens, people feel fully justified in doing that because could be hurt, could be wanting to get advantage, putting somebody else down so we can be elevated. You know, there's all kinds of motivations for why people do this kind of thing. But the truth is that when we enter into that, we eliminate God and all the blessings that he would like for us to live in, that righteous walk. In Proverbs 14, verse 5, Proverbs 14, verse 5 says, a faithful witness will not lie. And when we go and testify in court, which I've done a couple times, first thing they ask you, raise your right hand, put your hand on the Bible. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So you're giving your word that you're going to testify in court and that what you say is truthful. But a false witness will utter lies. A false witness will utter lies. You all know this, and you know I'm not telling you anything new here. You know that lying is not right. I'm not saying that this teaching is, you know, oh yeah, I'm thinking of somebody about it. Nothing. The thing is that we are all tempted every day to give a little bit on this. A little bit. Maybe not the great big grand lies that some people try to get over on us, but little lies. Every time we do something like that, we erode that fellowship with the Father. Now, there's going to be times when people will ask you questions that is none of their business. And the best thing that I know to do with that is say, that's none of your business.
No comment.
Or not comment at all. To say, we're not going there. That's a private matter. But the point is that don't lie, but rather just don't say anything would be a better position to be in. If it's none of their business, if it's pertinent to the situation and it needs to be dealt with, then that's the time to tell the truth for sure. Some things are going to remain private. Proverbs 14, verse 6 says, "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way." Hear that? The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. You got to know what's going on in your own thoughts and heart. You can't just allow yourself to be bullied by the world into behaving in a way that's contrary to God's will. But the folly of fools is what?
Deceit.
Because they think that they're trying to be deceitful and make a positive outcome for themselves. And that's folly. Fools make a mock of sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Or grace is another word for favor. There's grace to those who walk righteously. And those that don't, there is, and try to mock the sin, there is a harder road to take. And I love this last verse, and we finally reached it. Proverbs 30, verse 7. Proverbs 30, verse 7. And it says, "Two things have I required of thee." It's a prayer to God. "Deny me not them before I die." "Remove far from me vanity." And what?
Lies.
See, he knew himself well enough that he could become trapped in this vanity leg hold. And lies goes along with that. And then he says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." Most people would pray for no poverty, but a lot of people pray for riches. He's saying, "Give me neither. Give me neither. Feed me," it says, "feed me with food convenient for me." God knows what we need. God knows what we need better than we know ourselves. It isn't things or riches that's going to make us happy. What's going to make us happy, what's going to bless our lives, is walking with the Father and having our needs met, which he knows better than anybody. "Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." So that's why that was his prayer. No rich, no poor, but let me always be walking with you, Father. Because there is a trust factor. When you have everything that you could possibly have, you're not needing to trust God. You think you've done it all yourself. And then it's always going to be there. Believe me, if you think that's true, just ask any business owner who's been shut down for 3 months what that's done to his riches. It can go away very quickly. But it is God who supplies our needs. It is God who supplies our needs. And as I've seen time and time again during this momentous event, none of the believers have gone hungry. None of them have been without the things that they need to live. That's our God. So, should we apply the truth truthfully?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.